Please read.
His complexion is the hue of fresh cream tinged with kumquat. He is the ever fresh cupid who shoots arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He bears newer and newer moods of emotional ecstasies. He is fond of performing noble dances. He makes ever new jokes that cause much laughter. His brilliant luster is like freshly cast gold. I bow down to Gouda, the beautiful son of Mother Sakshi.
He's endowed with ever fresh love of God. His radiant luster is like the color of fresh butter. His fresh attire is arranged in ever new fashion. He relishes ever new melons of love of Krishna. He shines in ninefold new ways while executing the ninefold processes of the Ustama. He is connected with a most auspicious, loving nature. I bow down to Gouda, the beautiful son and mother Sakshi.
His outrodding devotion should be hard, yeah. He maintains the chanting of the names of holy while chanting. He calls the holy names on the fingers of his hands. He is addicted to the name of Ali. He always has tears of love wearing in his eyes. I bow down to Gouda, the beautiful son and mother Sakshi.
Bhattaji, is any? No? Alright. Alright, someone on the men's side.
He is always removing the suffering of material existence for mankind. He is the goal of life for persons who are dedicated to their supreme interests. He inspires men to become like honeybees, eager for honey of Krishna's prema. He removes the burning fears of material world by bowing to Gouda, the beautiful son of Mother Sakshi.
He motivates pure devotion out of himself. He is the most attractive to little long ceremonies. By his dramatic dancing, he executes the characters. He crosses the minds of beautiful young women to whom he I bow down to Gouda, the beautiful son of Manasakshi.
He plays karatas as his throat emits sweet melodious sounds and the vibrant notes of the veena are softly played. He thus inspires the devotees to perform dramatic dance that is infused with the aspect of his own devotional service. I bow down to Gouda, beautiful son of Mother Sakshi.
He is accompanied by the Sankirtan movement, which is the religious practice for the religion. He is Sam Randamara Maharaj Kavitin. He is the extraordinary brilliant model of the earth. His preaching mode is suitably the side of birth and death. His consciousness is fixed in meditation on his own goal of Krishna. He is always accompanied by his transcendental abode. He is the beautiful son of Mother Sakshi.
His eyes, the soles of his feet, and his clothing are reddish like the color that heralds the rising sun. As he utters his own names, his voice falters. He awakens a sweet flavor to life throughout the universe. I bow down to Gouda, the beautiful son of Mother Sakshi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yeah, keep this. We'll sing this again tomorrow. Krishna willing.
I'll take this. I'd like to mention before I forget that tomorrow there is a darshan available for both Maharaj, approximately 2:30 afternoon, something like that. So you can contact us some other time. Also.
For me in the morning would be better.
For you in the morning.
Yeah.
For Anabi Maharaj, 2:30. So contact us so there's a.
I'm going to read through, not just take one verse, but I'm thinking to read through a few verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and make some comments here and there. This is a traditional system of reading. In previous days, most people didn't read. So a Brahmin would be called to read the scripture and he would just read it and then here and there make a few comments. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to do this with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He used to have him read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Throughout his life, he did this. Well, after Saraswati was a little older. And then time to time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would give some comments, and then sometimes he'd get up and start dancing also in ecstasy, because Chaitanya Charitamrita is nectar. Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karapan Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, invites us, or actually orders, to daily drink the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita, from which there is Premananda, the bliss of love of Krishna, and knowledge of devotional service. So I selected some of the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita that have been most inspiring to the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness since these books were released, since they were published. There are several verses which discuss the spread of the Krishna conscious movement, and with Srila Prabhupada's purports, it's like a bugle call. For the, as Prabhupada said, the soldiers of the Sankirtan movement, those who are enthused to preach Krishna consciousness, they become more and more enthused. And actually these, especially some of these purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita have inspired especially amazing book distribution. By reading these purports, the devotees who are inspired just become more and more and more inspired. And as is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotees become crazy or like maddened bumblebees. Let me just, the example is given. The bumblebee goes collecting nectar. Then he gets so intoxicated he can't fly properly, just flying here and there a little bit, and becomes Mattabhringa, it's described. A maddened bumblebee. So in our own Krishna conscious movement, we see, as Srila Prabhupada says, the same principles are going on as in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this movement is the continuation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. What is that movement? It's described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in Adi Leela chapter 7, some of the verses, and in Adi Leela chapter 9, which describes the desire tree of devotional service, Bhakti Kalpa Vriksha. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is the desire tree. He gives the desire for devotional service. He fulfills the desire for devotional service. And he is the object of devotional service. So he is the desire tree. And how that tree of love of Godhead spreads throughout the universe is described herein. And I'll read a few verses from here. Beginning with Adi Lila, chapter 9, text 28. I'll just read it and maybe speak a little bit and then we'll see how far we go. Trijogateyache dhanaratnamani ekafale mula kari taha nahi gani. All the wealth in the three worlds cannot equal the value of one nectarian fruit of devotional service. It's a good start. Everything in the world cannot equal one fruit of bhakti. Mage bana mage keho patra ba a patra. Iha bicha nahi jane deyo matra. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada's purport. This is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. You all got that? All devotees engaged in Sankirtan? This is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. What is that? We'll read the verse again. This time you have to remember, while I'm reading it, that this is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. So continuing the purport, there is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement. Alright, you're all preachers of the Sankirtan movement. So, what the only purpose should be, the only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this Sankirtan movement to the world. Srila Prabhupada lived by this principle. He brought Krishna consciousness to the most unlikely people in the world. In 1965 and 1966, if anyone had any idea of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was meant for spreading all over the world, and they did an analysis of everyone all over the world, from the Greenland Eskimos to the intellectuals of Oxford and Harvard and the communists of China and Russia and the Scandinavians, not forgetting them, and they analyzed who was most likely to take to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement and who was most unlikely. Well, they'd find that most unlikely was pretty much everyone outside of India. And even within India, it didn't look as if anyone was going to take to it except some Bengalis, not even all Bengalis. Some Bengalis, some people from Orissa, some from Assam. And all the Western world, forget it. And then if you want to analyze that anyone in the Western world might have some hope, well, maybe some more cultured people. And if you even wanted to consider as human beings the kind of people that Prabhupada eventually ended up preaching among, the hippies, of New York and San Francisco, they must be at the bottom of the list. But Prabhupada, he showed this principle that everyone can take to devotional service. Actually, the Scandinavians would be pretty low on the list too, if you consider that Prabhupada's talking about preaching Krishna consciousness without restriction, but they believe in sense gratification without restriction. And although that's true in all the Western world, but the Scandinavians are particularly expert in that. And also, bhakti is meant for people, or especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant for those who dance and chant and sing and are happy. But don't mind me saying so, but in Scandinavia, unless people get drunk, which is not that uncommon, but they tend to be rather formal and rigid and don't smile. Smiling, stop. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement has, we can see, in these cold climes where people seem to be nirvishesha shunyavadi, impersonally inclined, even more than other parts of the Paschatya Desh, the Western world. So the same principle, chanting, dancing, feasting, everyone can take to it. The Sankirtan movement pierces through the coverings of the soul, the coverings of impersonalism, voidism, sense gratification. There's no consideration of who is fit and who is not fit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement can be taken to by everyone. And actually it's a great challenge for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to prove that this is a fact, that what Srila Prabhupada came to give was not simply some charismatic cult that as long as Bhaktivedanta Swami was alive, then the charismatic cult went on, and after he passed away, it kind of whittled out and died away. But it's a great challenge to show that what Prabhupada gave, Gauranga Nritya Nitya, that is a statement in Prem Vivarta of Jagadananda Pandit, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing is eternal. Srila Prabhupada wasn't simply a charismatic leader who attracted people to himself, but he gave the eternal principles of dancing in ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. So this should go on. Srila Prabhupada, what he came to give, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he came to give, that should go on without restriction. The preachers of the Sankirtan movement must preach without restriction. If they're leaving, you see they get some prasadam before they go. Someone will arrange that. I remember seeing Prabhupada in Bhaktivedanta Manor during a darshan, and one Indian family came in for 5 minutes or so. They left. They didn't like to hear, but Prabhupada, he was in the middle of talking, he stopped, he said, make sure they get prasad.
They actually just gave the sponsor, so.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Sponsors.
Good, very good. All right. So to preach without restriction, what does that mean? That means devotees, they shouldn't be intimidated by the restrictions that others like to put on them. Of course, devotees should be intelligent in dealing with time, place, and circumstance. But we see that, for instance, approximately 1973 in Australia, devotees were being arrested again and again for chanting Hare Krishna in the streets. And they wrote to and asked Srila Prabhupada what to do. Prabhupada said, go on chanting. If you get arrested, go on chanting in the prison. And devotees did. And although there was bad propaganda from the city council, saying these people are a disturbance, but Prabhupada wrote that if you do that, the people will sympathize with you. And they did. So they had such a spirit to go out. Even they were getting arrested. And they went on chanting. And now we find that this chanting, which in the 1960s and 1970s was in many countries, well, it was considered very strange, and many people they called bad names, and the police often like to arrest the devotees. But now we find that wherever we perform Harinam, practically, I mean, I don't travel all over the world, but I do go to quite a lot of places, and we see that wherever we perform Harinam, the response is so welcoming and positive, and very unusual to find anyone who reacts in a negative way. Of course, there's always some so-called Christians who they don't like it. But generally, we find people. Is that your experience also, Dhanaveya Maharaj?
Where, it is.
Yeah, everywhere people love Harinam, and the only negative comment we seem to get in some places is, "Where have you been?" We remember this from the 1970s. So there is actually tremendous, I mean, the scope for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world is the more we preach, the better it gets. So just like it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that just like the sandalwood, the more you rub it, the more the aroma comes. So in the same way, the more that Srila Prabhupada's books are distributed, the more Harinams are performed, the more festivals are performed, the more prasad is distributed, the more people appreciate this Krishna conscious movement. And despite actually very serious problems that our movement has had, some very bad things, particularly there were some child abuse cases, it's very horrible that this could have happened within the Sankirtan movement. But despite that, people, of course, most people are not very philosophical, but it seems that people recognize that this is something, it's a genuine spiritual movement. And despite the whatever bad propaganda there has been and will be, that all over the world people are appreciating that this, that people who go out in the streets in all weathers and chant Hare Krishna day after day, year after year, there's something substantial there. And people read these books. Often devotees ask that, well, people don't read the books, so what's the point of distributing them? But actually people do read the books. We have that experience, don't we? You're distributing books so many years in a small population country, so people are taking more. It's not that everyone's newly taking a book. They've taken books, and they're taking more. And we often find that we show the books and say, well, I've got that one, I've got this one. Do you have any other ones? So people are reading the books, and the effect is tremendous. It may not be that people immediately change their lives, but by reading the books, people do appreciate. I mean, if you read these books, you can immediately appreciate that just by reading one or two lines, Prabhupada said even one word, people can immediately appreciate that this, what is written here, is of a quality that they've never, there's nothing like it to compare in the whole world. It's not like a dogmatic religious scripture. It's not like some speculative philosophy. It's not like some dreary or even exciting novel. The quality is completely different. It speaks to the soul, and people appreciate that and like to take more books. So I'll go on to the next verse. Anjali anjali bhare phele chatur dishe Daridra Kuraya Kai Malakara Hashe. The transcendental gardener Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed handful after handful of fruit in all directions, and when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. This is allegorical. The fruit of love of God. People are starving. People are poor. They don't, just like poor people, they can't get food. So people, just like we read, that all the wealth in the world cannot, in all the three worlds, that means in all the heavenly planets, the earthly planets and the lower planets, all the wealth is not equivalent to one fruit of devotional service. So people are poor. People in Finland are very poor. If you say that, they'll be insulted. Say, no, we have a very good standard of living here. But they're very poor. As long as they don't get Krishna consciousness. So people are poor. Even the richest people in the world are very poor if they don't have Krishna consciousness. They're starving. Their human life is tick, 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 ticking away without knowledge of Krishna. So people are hungry for spiritual food. And we'll find that more and more as people, most people can realize that society, the way of life we have in the world, it's meaningless, it's frustrating, it's soul-killing. Actually, people are, Srila Prabhupada said, people, they're hungry for these books. So we have very good scope. Srila Prabhupada came and he distributed Krishna consciousness. He injected, he made the foothold, he made the start of preaching Krishna consciousness in the most unlikely field where no one else believed it was possible or was even thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But now there's very good scope. Very, very good scope for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And it seems the only lack is the lack of people to spread this, because really, wherever we go, there's tremendous opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness. This is one example. You can all give your own examples. But just the other day, we were driving in Germany, trying to find the Simhachalam, Nrsimha Farm. So we stopped in a village, which was actually only about 10 kilometers away from there, but we didn't know because we were driving around in circles without a map. So we stopped, there was hardly anyone in the street. We asked one elderly woman, do you know how to go to the Hare Krishna farm near Yandelsbrunn? She said, oh, there's a Hare Krishna farm near Yandelsbrunn? I didn't know. There's Hare Krishna yoga, right? She was all excited. You know, an elderly German woman in a Bavarian village was very interested to know that there was a Hare Krishna farm close to where she lived. And there are examples like that everywhere, all over the world. People are anxious for this. Malakara kohe shuno brikka pariba mula shaka upashaka jatek praka. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. Alokik brikka kare shavendriya karma starva hoya dhare jangamera dharma. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. Purport. It is our experience in the material world that trees stand in one place, but in the spiritual world, a tree can go from one place to another. You see all the trees going and moving so they can have darshan of Krishna's different pastimes and provide shade and fruits. Therefore, everything in the spiritual world is called alokik, uncommon or transcendental. Another feature of such a tree is that it can act universally. In the material world, the roots of a tree go deep within the earth to gather food, but in the spiritual world, the twigs, branches, and leaves of the upper portion of the tree can act like the roots. Abrikeronga hoy shabshate shachetan bariyabapi lo shabe shakala bhuvan. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow, they spread all over the world. Ekala malakarami kaha kaha jabo, ekalabo koto fall, pariyabilabo. I am the only gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Purport. Here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be performed by combined forces. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he laments, how can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute it all over the world? This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without consideration of time, place, or situation, all classes of devotees. Well, generally, when we speak about classes of devotees, that means Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Kanishta Adhikari. It can also mean, within the material world, there are various classifications. There's Finnish devotees, Russian devotees, Indian devotees. So all combined, that's another story from Germany, as we were stopped by the polizei, and they, as we were driving along, because we had a Polish registration car, and the devotee driving said, the police always, in Germany, always stop Polish registration car. He said that, 5 minutes later, we were stopped. So the police were actually happy to see that we had one passport, Polish, two Polish, one Bulgarian, and one British. They said, oh, you're Hare Krishna people, you're from everywhere. For us, the passport, we don't even think. Here's a story. In the early 1980s, I was in ISKCON, Calcutta, and one of my godbrothers was from Argentina. The Argentinian devotees had been thrown out at machine gun point out of Argentina. They were like refugees or exiles. So at that time, Britain and Argentina, they went to war over some rocks in the middle of the South Atlantic Ocean called the Falkland Islands. So we heard it, even though we don't read the news much, but it was a major world event. So we heard that Britain and Argentina are at war. So after a few days, I said to this devotee, Kashi Mishra Prabhu, we're supposed to be enemies now. I was joking. Because we never thought, I want Britain to win, and he never thought, I want Argentina to win the war. It was just nothing to do with us at all. Just some crazy people doing what crazy people do. They, time to time, they fight some war. There was not even slightest tension, or we didn't even think about such a thing, because we're part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. We don't identify with, what is that, Swadhi Kalacharya, Bhuma Ijyadi in Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna is recorded as having stated as foolish those people who identify with the country of their birth as worshipable. So like this, all classes of devotees. That means there's a place for everyone to preach Krishna consciousness. One may be very educated and intellectual and preach among the very educated and intellectual class, or one may be not very educated but very happy to chant Hare Krishna. So everyone, all classes should combine. There's no discrimination that this devotee is very educated, this devotee is not very educated, this devotee is even devotee may not be very advanced and another may be more advanced, but everyone is given the opportunity to take part in the Sankirtan movement. Just like the chanting of Hare Krishna, in going out on Harinam Sankirtan, everyone can join. Whether one is very new, or last night in Stockholm, we had a wonderful festival, went on for several hours, typical Hare Krishna festival with chanting, dancing, discussion of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wonderful drama, wonderful feast, and then Harinam. And three people who had just come for the first time, they immediately wanted to join with us. I said, "You're coming out on with us?" "Yes, yes, we want to join." Immediately, they just came out of some curiosity, and immediately they were so enlivened, they want to join the Sankirtan, the chanting party. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, how many fruits can I pick and distribute? How can I by myself distribute this love of God? Ekala uthaya dite hoi parishram keho pai keho napai rahe mane brahm. It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he's fully capable to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, but he's saying, I can't do it alone. In this regard, there's an anecdote that Srila Prabhupada, he was walking on the beach in Chennai, at that time called Madras, and there was one in that area, there was one particularly envious, Srila Prabhupada used the term, there was one member of the Gauriya Math who was very critical of Srila Prabhupada. Even in the newspaper he wrote letters against Prabhupada while Prabhupada was preaching in Madras. So one of Srila Prabhupada's sannyasis said to Srila Prabhupada that some people are criticizing you, Srila Prabhupada. They said that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world, he would have done it himself because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he didn't do it. So that means it's wrong to do it. It shouldn't be done. What a nonsense idea. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, when he heard this, he stopped, put his cane in the ground, and said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't personally preach Krishna consciousness all over the world because he wanted to give the credit to me. So, there you are. You can accept it or not, but I accept it. Yeah, very good. Very sharp, Maharaj. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that I order everyone to preach. But Prabhupada did another thing that Prabhupada said, we'll come to that. I'll get to this gradually. Well, maybe. Let's see if we reach that far in the course of the next couple of days only. These actually very important verses for what are we doing here? Why are you in this ashram in Helsinki when you could be all living in Vrindavan? What are you doing here? Some people would say, you can't be Krishna conscious in Helsinki. Everyone should go and live at Radha Kund. But what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Atevami agya dilung shava kare jaha taha prema fall deho jare tare. Therefore I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. He specifically says, Ami agya dilu shava kare. I give this order to everyone. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this connection, there is a song sung by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Enechi Oshadhi Maya Nashi Bara Lagi Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi Bhakativinoda Prabhu Charane Pariya Shri Harinama Mantra Loilo Magya. The Sankirtan movement has been introduced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to dispel the illusion of Maya by which everyone in this material world thinks himself to be a product of matter and therefore to have many duties pertaining to the body. Actually, the living entity is not his material body, he is a spirit soul. He has a spiritual need to be eternally blissful and full of knowledge, but unfortunately he identifies himself with the body, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a tree, sometimes an aquatic, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Thus, with each change of body, he develops a different type of consciousness with different types of activities, and thus becomes increasingly entangled in material existence, transmigrating perpetually from one body to another. Under the spell of Maya or illusion, he does not consider the past or future, but is simply satisfied with the short lifespan that he has gotten for the present. To eradicate this illusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the Sankirtan movement, and he requests everyone to accept and distribute it. A person who is actually a follower of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur must immediately accept the request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and thus beg from him the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one is fortunate enough to beg from the Lord this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, his life is successful. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Ekaki ama nahi pai bol hari nama sankirtane tumi kripa kari shodha bindu diya deho krishna namadhane. Praying to the Vaishnava Thakur, he says that by myself I don't have power to for the Harinam Sankirtan, for preaching Harinam. So he's begging one drop of faith. Give me one drop of faith by which I can get the wealth of Harinam. So I'll read one more verse. Ekala malaka ami koto fall kabo. Nadia ba e fall ar ki koribo. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Purport. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced so many fruits of devotional service that they must be distributed all over the world. Otherwise, how could he alone relish and taste each and every fruit? The original reason that Lord Chaitanya descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to understand Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and to taste that love. The fruits of the tree of devotional service were innumerable, and therefore he wanted to distribute them unrestrictedly to everyone. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore writes, Anarpita chiring chirat karunyavatirna kalo samapyatamunatajvala rasang swabhakti shriyam. Hari purata sundara duti kadamba sandipita sada hridya kandare spurutuva shachinandanaha. There were many previous incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada desires that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live perpetually in the hearts of all devotees, for thus they can understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. This has been explained in detail earlier in this Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the mood and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani, tasting the nectar of devotional service to himself and distributing that nectar. So by distributing this Sankirtan movement, one is giving great pleasure to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sees that everyone is getting the opportunity to relish devotional service at the highest level, even beyond the level of bhakti in Vaikuntha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came especially to distribute the Vraja Bhakti, or the spontaneous loving devotional service to Krishna, as is practiced and relished by the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Krishna conscious movement principally by chanting, congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And this is going on even today. So I'll finish there for today. And if there are any questions or comments, please.
Thank you.
People say that. People say that to us. They think we're intoxicated.
No, I mean the visitors that we get here
are intoxicated.
Yeah.
How should we deal with intoxicated persons?
Should we make sure that they get prasad also?
Should they get prasad? Yeah, certainly. Unless they're causing a disturbance, you have to see each individual case. But if someone's intoxicated, usually we don't invite them into the temple programs, where we can give them prasadam. It will depend on the individual circumstance.
I have a question about freedom. Does freedom really exist? Because I don't see that the life of a bhakta being really that free, because you have a lot of regulations.
Yeah, that's right.
And also the people who are not bhakta, they don't seem to be very free either.
No, there's not much freedom. You don't have much freedom. When you have the desire to pass stool, you have to follow it, right? You're conditioned by the body. The body alone puts so many restrictions on us. We have to sleep, we have to eat. If we don't brush our teeth, the teeth start to rot. Just to maintain the body, we have to follow so many regulations. And even if we want to, just like you may want to not sleep, but you can take some drugs which keep you awake, but eventually you have to sleep, otherwise you can't function at all. Or just automatically you'll fall asleep. Our freedom is restricted. We have the freedom to choose to serve Krishna or to pretend that we're not serving Krishna. In this material world, we're serving Krishna indirectly, because everything, the whole material world, is manifested by Krishna. So either we can recognize that we are very tiny living beings who are controlled by time. The body gets old, we have to die. We don't know why we go after that. We can either recognize that I'm meant for serving Krishna, or we can pretend that we're not under the control of Krishna and try to be free, but still we're controlled by the material energy in so many ways. Even the question that also comes, the question about freedom, comes from your conditioning. Because in this part of the world, people, they talk about freedom and they value it a lot, but actually no one's free. You have to, unless you work, you don't get money to go on with life. Unless you cooperate with the government, you get stuck in prison. So where's the freedom? It's just, freedom is something that people talk about to declare war on others. Just like in freedom, democracy, humanitarianism, that's the excuse for attacking Iraq. So where is the freedom? Where is the democracy? Where is the equality? These are all things that people say, everyone is equal. No one's equal. The statement, everyone's equal, is the most absurd statement. No two people are equal in any way. Maybe they're the same weight and the same height, but even that's approximate. Otherwise, no one's equal. Someone's more intelligent than someone else.
someone's more physically strong. Than if everyone is equal, there'd be no Olympic Games. You say there should be no Olympic Games because we want everyone to be equal. And there's no equality. There's freedom. We have the freedom to accept that I'm the servant of Krishna. And then we engage in our blissful life of serving Krishna. That's our actual constitutional position. We're actually happy by serving Krishna. Or we can deny it. And then we have to suffer repeated birth and death. We're under the laws of nature. So that's the sad fact for all for all the flag wavers of freedom. And again, those who wave the flag of freedom, that's also due to the conditioning in countries where they talk about freedom a lot. Because in other countries, they're not so much, they don't even think about it so much. In Russia, where the culture is different to the Western world, they vote for someone who gives them less freedom and who controls them more. Because they prefer it like that. And then the countries that believe in freedom say, hey, there's not enough freedom in your country, but we voted like that. So even some people, they don't put so much value on freedom. They I'm talking about the social level. Some people prefer that the country is more controlled, so there's less crime and everything's more orderly. So that's also a consideration. Anyway, that's a big discussion. But freedom, it's one of those Platonic utopian ideas that we're free, but no one's free. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. You're free to chant Hare Krishna. Please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And Krishna will shower you with transcendental bliss. You're also free to take Krishna Prasadam, which is amazing spiritual vegetarian food, which will be distributed now. Free! And if you're not careful, you may also, out of your free volition, choose to join this Hare Krishna ashram and accept the rules and regulations which the devotees have, out of their intelligent free choice, chosen to adopt. Because they can see that by following these rules and regulations, the free flow of love of Krishna comes through these. Just like in ballet dancing, for instance. If you see, it looks very natural, but to do that, you have to study with so much discipline. Or in music, a brilliant musician has to be trained and follow all the principles, learn how to do, then he can improvise. When he knows all the theory and is expert in the principles of playing an instrument, then he can improvise freely. Because it's based on the basic principles. So yes, devotees follow rules and regulations, but that is to restrict all the garbage ideas that come constantly through our minds and fix the mind on Krishna. And then when the mind is fixed on Krishna, then spontaneously love of Krishna flows within the heart. So it's a training. The rules and regulations are a training period. And when one is perfect in Krishna consciousness, he generally follows all the rules and regulations anyway. Just like an expert musician doesn't always improvise, he generally follows the script. The score, it's called, I think. Anyway, that's another big topic. You're free to chant Hare Krishna. Welcome. And we'll finish here now. And we'll be up at 4:30 in the morning dancing. What are you doing? That's freedom, isn't it? When everyone's sleeping, will be dancing without intoxication. And we do it every day. We want the freedom to lead a miserable life, or the freedom to dance every day, have a party every day. That's what I thought when I first came to Bhaktivedanta Mana. And I stayed overnight, and then they got me up at a time where, you know, I never dreamed that anyone could even get up at that time, except maybe the postman or the baker. And it was freezing cold because we didn't have any money and it was snowing outside. But everyone was dancing after taking a cold shower, which, you know, why would you want to get up in the middle of the freezing night and take a freezing shower? But then everyone's dancing in bliss at 4:30 in the morning. I thought, this has got to be real. And they do this every day. This is real. I was convinced. Hare Krishna.